you're more relegated to your actual horse than stealing other people's cars at any point in time. But beyond that, it's actually pretty
similar. Not rampant horse theft?
I think, yeah, no, you can steal people's horses, but it's like, damn, you just left your horse. You may have, like, grown them, have a relationship with them and everything. Damn. It's like, damn, you can't just leave this nigga at the stall or whatever, you know?
Send the link.
Welcome to Send the Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-captain, co-pilot, and co-host, Deej Dollars. DJ, are you ready for the ongoing and apparently never-ending race war outside?
Are we crippled or uncrippled, America, at this point?
I mean, I guess we are in a state of recovery. Mm. We are... has it healed America? Are we going to get like the part two with like positive, unfrowning Trump on it?
Physical therapy.
Is that what it is? It's just like us struggling on the two double dual bars shit?
Yeah.
Walking forward.
Upper arm strength. Crazy.
If you couldn't hear, I hope you couldn't. There is a siren outside as we prepare for this podcast, but we're on a schedule. We got things to do. So we decided we'll let y'all know what's going on. It's fine. Keep you abreast of what's happening, what's happening in the culture. Also, things happening in the lives of, you know, your most illustrious host, Deej.
Me?
How was your weekend, guy? I heard you, I know Saudi Arabia is kind of off limits right now because of everything they're doing, but I heard you went to Mecca.
That was clever.
I was thought of it for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not a Muslim, and I'm actually not particularly interested in going to that area of the world anytime soon. But I did visit a different Mecca, a particular Mecca for black people, and went to Spouse Homecoming. The weather held up. You're looking pretty perplexed. I don't know if it's because you can't hear me.
Where were you, sir?
I was in Atlanta for Morehouse Spelman, a.k.a. Spellhouse Homecoming. It was the my 5-year anniversary.
So that means you're graduation. How old?
Too old. Old enough to wear, and I'm pretty sure you experienced that phenomenon as well, whenever you had gone back, to where you literally don't recognize anybody on campus, like pretty walking much. And it's kind of eerie, like you don't recognize anybody. And if and when you do recognize somebody, you have to seek them out and embrace them because you feel like a stranger in your own land with all of these newer or updated yet similar faces to those that were there when you were there. So, thankfully, damn near all of the entire 2013 class were there, and we had our tents for tailgate and had a number of accommodations and libations there.
Right.
So it was a good time. I had
was
a party.
It was edifying. You felt good, man, just to see everybody. And even if you didn't see as many familiar faces as you thought, just to be like, I'm back in the red ground. All that, you know, just to sort of.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Nah, it was love. It was just a good time. Stacey Abrams was out there.
She was?
She did it with keg stand and everything.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
Stacey Abrams? Wait. That was a, what was it? Selena Davenport did a keg stand. All right. I'm not surprised.
Right.
It's always fun to see, like, who is the alum that is there. Like, oh, shit. Ooh. So, Stacey, like, she didn't do a keg stand, but she obviously did something hilarious, right?
Not to my... Actually, I had ostensibly heard and saw that she was there. I was pretty much relegated to a couple of predefined areas throughout most of the tailgate. But apparently, she was just all up and down the homecoming strip, shaking hands, kissing babies, trying to pull votes out of... the 99% of the black people that were there, which are going to be the core of her.
The 99% of her votes.
Right. Hopefully not 99% of her votes, because if that's the case, then she will come very short of beating her opponent, Brian Kemp, the current Secretary of State. But yeah, she was there. I was there. The homies were there. It was just a good time. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. When's the last time you went?
Whoa. It's a.
You didn't even go to your 5-year.
Nah. I thought about it. I think I was doing something.
Okay, were you doing something or were you just like kind of over it?
So that would mean that was 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
No, what it was is I was trying to see who was going. I was like, yo, who's going? And everybody's like, I'm not going. So I was like,
what? Really? Damn. See, I think my class has a collective identity,
unity
amongst ourselves, and that graduation year. So it was really no surprise that the vast majority of the entire class made it back. As you can see with my voice, which is a bit more hoarse and deeper than the norm, to where Brandon would probably have to mess with the EQs a bit, I yelled and imbibed out my normal speech, but we're still here. I wanted to come back and make sure we recorded on this Tuesday to
dedication.
Keep up, right? But not only for that, but also because I didn't want it to like break the trend and for me to just give in to the fact that I've been partying for the past like 3 or 4 days and I'm just tired. I'm like, nah, we're about to come back.
I thought
be
it was
real.
Because you sold the pie. Like, listen, I got this podcast that is lit, so I gotta get back to
recording. I did a bit of that too. A couple people hollered at me and said that I listened and they liked it. And like what we were doing. So shout out to y'all, and y'all know why my voice is hoarse in the first place. Oh, one thing.
Story time.
I'm not sure if I should say names, but my freshman year RD, you know who he was.
Yes.
He was in the VIP with me at the party. We got him in.
That sounds accurate.
Yes.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Where we are past the statute of awkwardness, but he is still within the statute of working for the school. So
I
don't want to name names, but you know who he is.
Good people.
Yeah.
Good people.
Yeah.
I also had that experience with that person.
Yeah.
At one point in time. Yeah. So, yo, what's up?
Yeah, we sought him out on campus the day before. And we're like, yo, come out with us. I got you a VIP band. He was like, all right, let's see what's up. And he followed up and it was all good.
Much love, man. I know that the other place also had a homecoming this weekend too, supposedly.
Where?
I forgot. In D.C.?
Where?
I don't know.
The real HU? Hampton?
Yeah, supposedly Howard had theirs too, so.
Oh, I wasn't aware, and that's not. I mean, I don't know. I'm just have such tunnel vision.
I'm just trying to shout to black people. I hate black people.
Yeah, but then when you get within that purview into that cultural space, there does need to be a bit of domination, and including homecoming as well. Our homecoming has character. We may not have the land grant and federal money that a Howard does, but we'll make up for it in energy, liveliness.
I never knew that. FYI,
what?
That they had federal bread.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. Oh, well.
I mean, every school has federal bread, but
like,
their bigger school have more. It's in D.C. Land grant. Yeah. I don't even know who they play. I don't know who Morris played or who even won the game.
I know who they didn't play.
Who?
Themselves.
They didn't. Hey, ooh. Congratulations.
Shout out to everybody who went back. You know, had a good time.
Actually, I think they lost, but don't take it from me. We have to go double back and check on that because I don't even know.
That's good to hear. Well, I will say this. Did it seem like it was all positive vibes? I know you're probably in your own world with all your people, but like, you know, the general feel of the place was like, yo, this is a good time and no negative vibes. I remember a few years ago, it was was it the aquarium controversy? When was that?
Oh, right. Aquagate. Yeah, that went viral. Yeah, because that's one thing AC is good at is, like, that's a contention of you know, black Twitter as well, right? So they definitely can drive attention and hashtags or what have you. But thankfully, no, nothing like that happened this year. My class's five-year party was organized by the class themselves. Now, although the lead up to it, there were a bit of logistical issues and lack of communication in some regards. It turned out pretty dope, and everybody had a good time. No one really got kicked out. Or was denied or had to keep the music low because they didn't want to disturb the manatees or whatever that went in the tank. Although I do remember, it's not even worth reporting, but I would say it turned out well.
Okay, dope.
Went to Waffle House after. I'm not even sure you can hear me. Like, I'm even sure my voice is like get picked up on every single thing I'm saying.
I mean, hitting up things, a good time, Waffle House.
Thank you for reiterating.
You know, all those things that I guess matter. I get, you know, riding down over the hill, seeing the great Megatron of the New Georgia Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Megatron's butthole.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely an ominous structure. I had enough time down there to actually be able to hit all of the synonymous cultural spots. Waffle House.
Yep.
JR Cricket.
Yes.
American Deli.
American Deli.
And I snuck in Zaxby's on the way home.
You know, you almost hit, you hit all the points, man. I mean, I went to JR Cricket and I realized I was disappointed when I went last. I was like, I remember this being better.
Yeah, I think after a while you get a bit jaded or your taste buds change. Because, I didn't totally love JR Cricket's as well. But, you know, it's mostly for nostalgia purposes. Pretty actually, much. Small story, I had my worst Waffle House experience. The first night I got there, we went at like 3 in the morning.
So you went multiple times.
Yeah, I did. I went twice, sir. Yeah. It was just horrible, like in every form of fashion. Don't go to the one on Tech. What is that? 10th Street? North Ave? One of the two. I think it's right above North Ave. Yeah. The one right in the middle of Georgia Tech campus. Don't go to that one. That one's.
You heard it here first, people.
Yeah.
Know your Waffle Houses.
The lady who served us, she was okay, but she was lax and slow. Somehow, the people that ordered after us, they all got their waffles and waffles before us. The sausage were like hockey pucks, like a bounce. It was weird.
Damn, man. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Yeah, that's why we had to follow up after the main party on Friday and hit the other Waffle House on Cheshire Bridge.
Do you think it was about potential alcohol consumption to change your perception, or you knew for a fact it wasn't quality?
Nah, the service was better. The food came out much faster. And by then, I had more of my wits about me as well. And I was already on the lookout, like, this shit better not be like last time. You know, we went to a different one. That one we had gone to the first time, I had a bad feeling as soon as we walked in. I just looked at him. Disappointed.
Damn.
Should have went to the one on Howell Bell.
The classic, right?
The classic.
Well, I'm glad to hear you had a good time at our old stomping grounds, man. And speaking of our old stomping grounds, I want to just sort of
take I won't back. Be back for a while.
Okay.
At least the homecoming. I need some time.
That was funny. Okay.
Just saying.
Don't expect anything, Atlanta. You won't be there. Back in our old stomping grounds for a while. I want to take you back into the time machine. If you can go in. Like, boop, 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 back in time. Once upon a time, I would say, and I don't think either one of us is as much as we used to be. You know, were we gamers? I think at one point, you might have said recently to me, potentially semi-pro.
I was semi-pro Smash Brothers players, if I recall correctly.
We missed the wave, right? Right before, you know, shit became... Right, yeah, please. We could have just brought t-shirts of like Team House. Travel the fucking country and shit.
Right, making $100,000. And be like Ninja. You heard Ninja, the kid that plays Fortnite?
Fucking Echo Fago and shit. Like,
yeah. No, we did. At least when it came to Smash Brothers between you and I and probably another homie Bird, pretty much the three of us would always be on the sticks and it would just be like a fourth person that would just come in and out because they would just get their ass beat and then move on. Yeah, those were good times. I mean, as of now, I always felt like video games had... reached a kind of critical mass. Like the games are all, well, not all, but the best games out are generally very good, but I don't know, just haven't been moved as much as of lately. When a big title does come out every couple years, like a Metal Gear Solid or Halo or in this case, which we're leading up to, Red Dead Redemption comes out, I try to get back into it. So I think that's where we stand now. I just went across the street and picked up Red Dead Redemption 2, a game made by Rockstar, the same people that made make the GTA franchise. So they're known to make good quality games. Also, Manhunt from back in the day. I don't know if you remember that.
Throwback.
Yeah, Midnight Club 2? Was that them?
Was that Rockstar? Maybe.
I think so. Yeah.
I'm not sure, but...
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring it up.
Yeah. I guess I'm back on the wave. I haven't played a video game in several months, if not a year and change. So I have to see if my fingers work as well as they used to.
I'm sure it'll be fine. Honestly, it's all muscle memory. It's all ingrained in there.
And hand-eye coordination.
Pretty much. But I wanted you to bring us back to that moment because, like DJ, like he said, came and arrived to do the podcast with game in tow. And I realized that for me, that my my system, which is a PS4 at this point, is basically a glorified NBA 2K machine.
2K machine.
I just kind of like play to play. Like, I don't really care about winning. It's more for my own internal, alright, I'm bored. I like basketball. It's not even like, I don't know if it's, is it fun? Maybe.
Maybe.
But it's something that I remembered at one point in my life. I played video games. Max Payne. Also Max Rockstar. Payne. There you go.
Max Payne. Shout out to that, what was that, Mark Wahlberg that did the movie?
Was it Mark Wahlberg?
You see it?
Bullet Time and all
that shit? I made a point to not see that movie. I was like, no. Max Payne, I'm going to pass.
I mean, I have to find like who played him. That would be hilarious. But
I think it was Mark Wahlberg.
I mean, they make plenty of good games. And games which I played, L.A. Noire, people like that or something. Like, that was Bully. Red Dead Redemption is getting a lot of love. The second one, I've heard a lot of talk about it from people. And then you come in, and I'm like, wow, I'm trying to give video games, not to say more love, but just like the way the competitive landscape is changing and how like games are art now because of the technology. Like this article I found on Polygon talks about this, the way it's actually painted in the visuals and everything in the world, because they made GTA as well, but like just to be out in the desert traveling is like the big pull of this game. And it's like, wow, that's almost enticing. It's almost enticing enough for me to buy a game that, I don't know. Because you think about $60, you're like, okay, that can last you for a long time in terms of entertainment. Yeah. But at some point, I'm just like, wow, this is just not real. And it just like, you just lose that, don't know.
Yeah, that's why that lack of actual realism actually has made me step out of sports simulation games. Much before I had eased up on playing as many first-person shooters or fighting games, because simulation games are supposed to be, you know, facsimiles of real life, but then when something fake or unrealistic happens, that just makes me very upset. That's why I repeatedly tell everyone I stopped playing 2K by 2K9, because I was like, this shit is realistic. But then when I pull the trigger to pass the ball up the court and the guy keeps running towards the sideline and the ball just goes over his head.
They just keep that in there, just refuse to like...
I don't know. And that just... They still do that?
It's not as blatant, but it's like, you can't dope long passes. Yeah. Don't do it. You're gonna like...
That used to kill me, son. And it was supposed to be like correlated with whoever got the rebounds, like passing ability or whatever. They were just like fooling the ball out of bounds. That shit used to just frustrate me crazily. So I just deaded on that. But... I mean, for a lot of other games that I may have played, or it's like a Red Dead, they're more just escapism to me, and I'm not looking for actual like super duper realism. So those are always cool to just step out of your reality. There's no way I'll be able to go back into the Wild West type of era or live out a Clint Eastwood movie. So
that's why not pick up a game like this? So that's what effectively pulled you in. You paid the first one. Like I know of the first one, and everyone, the first couple, everyone praises them and talks about how great they are. And I just like, I'm like, I need that final pull. It's even GTA, the last GTA, I thought it was great, but I don't know what's preventing me. Like, what hooked you?
That Rockstar made it, for one. I have played the other ones. It's kind of like GTA. It plays kind of like it as well. It's narratively based as well. You get more relegated to your actual horse than stealing other people's cars at any point in time. But beyond that, it's actually pretty
simple. Not rampant horse theft?
I think, you can steal people's horses, but it's like, damn, you just left your horse. You may have like grown them, have a relationship with them and everything. It's like, damn, you can't just leave this nigga at the stall or whatever, you know? So you kind of stuck with your horse. The shooting mechanics are much better. They do a more like slow motion thing. I don't know if they still have it in this one. And it was just very detailed. The stories are really good. It's a bit more grounded in those realms. But still overall, just a very good game, very good franchise. And I know in the previous iterations, and especially this one, reportedly, they just spent a ton of time working on it, revamping it, rewriting it, redesigning it for like over the course of like 6 to 8 years.
See, that's one thing about the way games are now that I don't understand is that work really being done? Because of this triple A, high quality games, I know for a fact that like these guys that work on the graphic designers and these animators and stuff like that don't get paid well. They overwork to do all these things.
Yep.
But the way that the games are made, it seems like they're sort of, not say cut and paste, but like they, when you have like a big, huge franchise or something like that, it's just like, okay, we're going to do something we know is going to be successful. All these franchises are sort of in place. It's not sort of like these new things come out of anywhere because of the way sort of multiplayer and online work. They're all just trying to, they're just cash cows at this point.
Well, yeah, like the
so I don't know
Call
how,
of Duties and stuff.
Yeah, like I don't know how much, even something like this, like isn't there an online component? Or am I tripping or no?
Honestly, I don't even know. I went into it a bit underinformed on purpose.
No, can I just comment about this?
You gave me like a very,
no, because
very pleased. Like,
do you know, like, you, how do you feel about becoming a casual gamer? Like that, like you just officially, you're just like, you're like, I don't know, I just, you know, I liked it. And
I liked the previous ones. I just got it. I'm blessed enough to have a bit of disposable income enough to drop $60 on a game. So yeah, I'm not. How do I feel about it though? I mean, my priorities have changed. Technology around all of us has changed. Our attention is being pulled in so many directions that I can't dedicate as much time as I had to video games like that. I have friends that still do, like, to this day, and it's cool, but I like to read shit, you know, off the podcast. I do a podcast. I work. And you look up, and you just don't have as much time. Yeah, you sleep. You eat. So go to homecoming. So it's just like, you look up, and you just don't have as much time as you used to when you were younger. So I think that's one of those implicit things that you don't realize, especially with you. I guess they do say that, but you don't realize until you really look at me like, damn, I really don't have as much time as I used to. Like when we were in college and we were just able to just play Smash Brothers for several hours, but ostensibly be RAs or whatever. It was just like, we didn't really have too much else to do.
Not really working.
Yeah. So that's not the working and adulting are not the super duper main impediments, but it's just, how it's just because of the everything else has been added on, yeah, like technology and social media and all that type of stuff, and just apps on your phone, just other games on your phone. It takes up some of our time, so it's just about prioritization. And a smart guy once said, "People make time for the things they want to make time for."
That's real.
So you remember who said that?
I said that.
No, you remember who said that?
Martin Lawrence.
Nah, Mercedes. Oh. Mercedes.
Oh, I feel like people, he got that from
smart. Yeah. No, for sure. I know, but I was like, damn, that was smart. And sure. I always remember that. So, you know, it's cool. And also at the same time, I'm not really moved by many of the newer games or new franchises.
Right. That's kind of like my boat I'm in.
Yeah. And it looks as if the bigger publishers have gone about that serialized model that the big movie studios have gone down as well, which is just franchising their shit and continually reiterating on the same franchises and stuff, basically every year or every other year, to the point where you just get, if you're not getting diminishing returns, you're just getting like more of the same. So there's no way you could tell me the latest Call of Duty that just came out is like significantly different or better. They had jetpacks. No, they had jetpacks for like three Call of Duties.
I just look at the video. I was like, oh, is jetpacks? Is that what that's supposed to be?
Story's different or whatever. Like, you'd be better. Like, they damn near would have been better off just, not better off, but a different decision could have been made to where you just pay for like a season pass. You pay $40 a year. You just get the
latest
one. I think
they're afraid of that. Like, because like, if they ever do that shit, where it just makes it so every year that you just update the pass or something like that, I think that will just push out the industry, because all sports games would be like that. Yeah. And all these shooting games, anything sort of competitive that's really nothing added on. New maps. You just pay for the maps.
Right.
I don't know. It's weird.
I don't know. I'm sure they've looked at those type of models before, because they're not the first industry to do that. I mean, obviously, as we see with Netflix and whatnot. I mean, shit, even Apple has the Apple Care system or whatever it's called. iPhone Forever.
I have no idea what that is.
It's basically you pay a couple $100 every year and you can get the new iPhone every single year. They have it for a couple Android devices as well, for like
Galaxies.
Yeah, and they just copied that from Apple. So who knows? Maybe they, because you would have to get somewhat of a deal. So if it's $40 compared to every year, they know a person pays $60. They may not. it may not make sense for them to do that. But anyway, long story short, is both of the main two gamer consoles are kind of at the end of the life cycle, right? Xbox One and PS4.
Really?
Supposedly.
Because that's throwing me off too. I'm like, wait, wasn't that like 2 years ago?
I know. I'm not ready to get a new system. I barely use my shit now. But I do want to kind of play a new game every now and then. But you can't tell me that if they're not at the end, they're definitely in the middle. They're like in the LeBron state, like the middle towards past the prime. And you can't tell me like the Call of Duty from like 2 years ago is significantly worse or different than the one that just came out the other day. Like,
it's just like, you know,
same shit. Like, you can only optimize the specs inside of these consoles only so much. Although at the same time, that's why Sony and Microsoft came out with like these semi-updated versions of the consoles.
They're like smaller or something. Like,
yeah, sexier. Smaller. I think that the chip's a little better, a little faster. It might look a little better. Could put out 4K. But really, it's like
No one uses 4K.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we're gonna jump to like 5K and just like yeah.
Someone who works in video, it's just like there's no reason for anything to be in 4K.
Right. Like, shit is already pretty clear.
It's like wow, big. It makes everything go slow. It's like, it's purposeless.
Okay, well, you informed me a bit more than I even knew. I mean, yeah, it's definitely not a complete paradigm shift going from like standard to HD. I remember when that shit just happened. God damn.
Change is like, whoa. Yeah, is this how the world's supposed to look?
Yeah, I remember. I mean, like the home AV was ahead of like cable and shit like that. Right. So when the cable channels or the network channels went to HD, you start to look at, you know, watching sports or something like that. That obviously was dope because it was just much clearer. But then you would see the halftime shows or whatever. You'd be looking like, damn, Magic Johnson got a mad makeup. I saw Mike Fratello the other day. Does he do Nets games?
I think so, yeah.
Yo, Mike Fratello looks like they got to ease up on the powder. Yeah, they got to ease up on the powder on my man, Nazar. He just looked too, like, yeah, he looked like he needs to, like, lay
down. Vampires.
Yeah, like he sleeps in a casket or something like that. So you used to not really see those things as much. But with the emergence of normal HD as we know it, that became a thing. But yeah, there's not that much more definition to be made from 4K necessarily. From what I see, and I guess according to
I mean, it looks great. Brandon. It looks great. Are you going to pay for the console that's going to have the, I don't know, terabyte in there for you to use it? Hell no.
Nah. I mean, it'll take time for these things to, you know, be cut down and made cheaper and whatnot.
Yeah.
But,
2030.
Yeah, as of right now, nah, we don't really need it over here. But
so what do you anticipate from this game when you play it? Hopefully it's great. You love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, will this be the title that brings you back into the Microsoft fold?
Nah, I doubt it.
To make you have do they still have the avatars?
They just updated them. You heard about this?
No.
We should have done a piece about that. That they made them more human-esque, and now they just look creepy. Yeah, it's like, why the fuck did y'all do this? This is the problem with, at least a problem, not to say that I'm anti, but this is a problem with capitalism and always trying to sell people shit, because it's like, damn, we got to change around at some point.
Make it better.
Right, but it's not better, it's just, you just did it a little different, so they just look more defined and creepier, they have more fingers and ears and stuff like that. You're like, okay, thank you. I like my guy. I bought my guy a Yankees cap like 7 years ago, and that's what he's been wearing. So
how classy.
Yeah, he's a classy guy. He wears like sunglasses and a Yankees cap. And even that, I felt like I was overdoing it. So I'm not about to go in and change the color of his eyes and lips and his height and all of this shit. I'm like, nah, dog. I'll pass.
Well, I mean, how would anyone know that you're an active member of the community if your avatar isn't updated? Like, I mean, of course.
That's key. That's why they're trying to pull me in and have me go to the avatar store to define my guy even more. But I'll take a pass on that. I think I'm a bit more cognizant and not as engaged as a more hardcore users.
I think I want to find a way to sort of migrate back to these sort of the throwback consoles that they're selling in like the little mini
one. Like little SNES,
like,
or whatever.
But it's like, it's such a hustle because like all that shit is like free on the internet. It's like, so I'm supposed to pay $80 for all these old games that are free on the internet or like an app on your phone? I don't understand.
It looks cool.
Something like that.
What's funny is, which is a bit of a troll But like a good, I guess, nostalgic troll is my homeboy, actually, who I was stay with off and on. He has or was gifted the Super Nintendo one that you mentioned, and it came with two controllers, but they were both really short like they used to be, so you still like, had to be way up close to the TV, I guess, back during that time when they had just standard definition televisions that, and they weren't even as big. Shout out to the Raekwon line, 30-inch Zenith, believe it.
Oh, wow. That didn't age well.
Right. So it was just funny. It's like, damn, they didn't have to make that exactly the same to the T. They could have made the cord a little longer or made them wireless, but they were just trying to go for the whole retro experience.
That's terrible. That's just his oversight. There's no way that was retro. Like, oh, he trapped
TV. No, I think that was exactly what it was. I mean, I could be wrong, but it was just funny. Like, because I remember that being a thing too when I was much younger. Like the cords are very short.
And I mean, also playing with another person because that's just over.
Right.
So you can't even get multiplayer games anymore. It's a weird.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know if Red Dead 2 has it, but I'm just keeping an open mind. I expect it for it to be a pretty dope game. It's going to be more narratively driven than anything. I'll take my time. Last real like narrative game I played was, what was the last Metal Gear Solid 5?
I have no idea.
I think.
I've never played that.
Oh, really?
Nah.
It's one of my favorite franchises.
Solid Snake.
It's confusing as shit. It's complicated as hell.
Japanese.
But it's a dope game. It's a dope story. Dope game. Feel fun. Hideo Kojima.
So, with all that being said, before I try to like force a segue on this next part,
4-7.
It seems it's a weird sort of points put together. Would you claim to be a gamer once again?
No. No.
Oh man, too busy being in the real world doing things like, oh wait,
going to homecoming?
No, I mean shit. Apparently wearing yoga pants. I don't know.
That me. I wear normal running shorts.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to confirm like what exactly is our next topic really about, because it seems I don't understand
athleisure.
I don't really understand what that means. It just means clothes, like.
Right. I think that's like the overall sentiment. As somehow it seemed like we landed comfortably in the transition.
Well done, sir.
To once secondary
again.
Topic.
Once least. Again, the Atlantic. Once again.
Derek Thompson.
The god, Derek Thompson.
He's a great writer. He writes about interesting shit. And the title is Everything You Wear is Athleisure. And that kind of answers exactly what you were asking, Brandon. So, no. You know, basically, he starts it off with an anecdote about the founder of Lululemon.
Yes.
In the late or mid to late 90s, looking at a girl's butt in yoga pants.
So, yeah.
I was like,
I gotta buy those.
How can make I those. Rebrand this and make it lit? This is up in Vancouver, Canada. As we all know, it was a relatively long, slow grind, but Lululemon is. The garb of many a yuppie white girl in New York City, for
indeed.
Sure.
Indeed. So, and a city near you.
And brands like that and the emergence of casual slim sweatpants as part of fashion and streetwear have brought about the new-ish buzz term athleisure. And Thompson in the article looked to examine exactly what that was, how did it emerge, and whatnot. And as he details in the piece, the history of so-called athleisure and athletic clothing is longer, broader, and deeper than what you would imagine over the past century, in which, you know, a lot of social norms and clothing and means of expression have changed, especially compared to the various centuries before that.
I mean, this is a fire long read.
It's not even that long, no.
I mean, for what it's about.
It's like a mid, yeah.
I appreciate the historical aspect of it, because I always like to take out the nugget of how the polo shirt was made in polite conversation as some kind of like, I know shit story.
Right. He touches on that. Yeah.
But, you know, I guess the long grind to making comfortable clothes, starting from the tennis shoe to right. polo shirt to these yoga pants and
sweaters,
the hoodie,
sweatpants. Because so essentially, my takeaway is whatever wasn't formal, like you got to imagine. And even when you look at old super duper black and white pictures from the late 1800s backward, everyone is dressed in what we'd imagine nowadays as formal clothes, no matter where they went.
Right.
Right. And if you weren't in formal clothes, you may have been in sportswear. That was really it. The line between the two was very stark, very clear. And you would be looked at sideways if you weren't wearing basic formal clothing out, you know, with your top hat and everything. Shout out to Abe Lincoln and whatnot.
Monopoly.
Right, Mr. Monopoly, everybody with their top hats and pocket watches and so on and so forth. So as the two lines started to merge over the past century or so, that's what brought about the athleisure, which is really just anything that's not a formal clothes, anything that you just go about and wear. So for one, you have on at least what the Ralph Lauren website would call a sports shirt.
Oh.
You know why?
Why?
Because that's not even in this article. I'm just adding more context to it. But
DJ's letting y'all know.
You could let y'all know. Like, you would know, you know of a more like dressier shirt. Usually the collar's a little bigger. It's like an
evening shirt for like an outing.
It's a bit stiffer of a shirt. Well, when obviously, for better or worse, our society is driven by Eurocentric, Anglo-Saxon culture and whatnot.
Yes.
Obviously, the U.S. was the Tea Party was a terrorist organization that basically just broke away from Britain. So, but we're still Brits at heart, largely so. And that culture still persisted, and between here and Britain, as the relationship between the two countries continued on to this day. People would play polo or golf and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So those formal shirts just don't articulate well. So then they kind of functionally made them a bit more articulate and not as ostentatious. So then you had your sports shirt as you're wearing now. Then from there, when people were trying to work out a bit or work up a sweat, they would wear a bit thicker cotton shirt that was woven in a certain way.
Peak.
Maybe peak. And the intention was to sweat in it. That's where you get the name sweater. Although no one likes to sweat in their sweaters nowadays, for the most part, that's what the original intention was for, was to sweat in them. So yeah, like sweatshirts and sweatpants. At Ivy League colleges, people would emblazon their school
emblem
or their team, their row team, golf team, track team, and so on and so forth onto your sweaters. So that's where you got that. What else am I missing? What else did you skim?
I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
This idea that, I guess, previously, the idea that, number one, the clothes are about utility.
Yeah.
So how does that matter? Because he references Levi's and things like that, and mm-hmm. how like watches sort of became a thing for soldiers in wartime and stuff like that.
Right.
But the idea, sports specifically.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of that, it's like a leisure activity, like the sweatpants and things like that. It's just interesting how it is, because I guess pre 18 something, everyone was a fucking surf. Like,
so I mean, there were other socioeconomic factors that drove this, and obviously, women have their own distinct track of this as well. That was a bit delayed in certain fashions, one thing of note was the emergence of widely available rubber and rubber molds that entrepreneurs or companies use to put on the bottom of shoes to allow for more durability and maneuverability. And the first athletics to be used for those were like golf and tennis and court sports. So that's where the name tennis shoes came from,
which is held on in some places. You know, I say sneaker.
Yeah, specifically by my grandmother. My southern grandmother, she's like, oh, those are nice tennises. Oh, tennises or tennis shoes. My grandma, these are Jordans. These are not, never played tennis in these. But that's where that name came from, because those were the first real shoes that used rubber soles. And that has just persisted over time. The term and name sneakers came about still with the rubber bottom shoes, but it was given that name particularly just because you supposedly couldn't hear people walking up on you, so you could sneak around with rubber shoes on.
Murder them or whatever.
Right, yeah. Murder probably was not as easy with wooden clogs on or whatever people have been wearing. So on the whole, it just shows like the progression of particularly athletic clothes because of their nature to allow for movement.
Comfort.
And comfort and feasibility have persistently just meshed into the average daily garb to the point where the yoga pants explosion happened in the late 90s up till today. So there's always been that, you know, kind of socially conservative pushback, for better or worse, just because it seems a bit galling to see people wear things that were not, that they originally hadn't been intended for. But Thompson goes a long way to show that this has been a long time coming, especially so over the past 100 years or so. So I just thought it was cool.
I mean, it's definitely a dope article, especially if you're into fashion. You want to understand how, like, clothes are one of the things that I guess people sort of take for granted in culture. You go to the store, you see how the way things are cut or why things cost the way they do, or why which fabrics are there for what reason, and appreciate that people wanting to play sports has, like, moved us to a more comfortable place. That, I mean, shit, while me wearing one piece bodysuits and like bobsledders and shit.
Yeah, I mean, to the point where those things may come all the way around and be deemed as kind of semi-formal, if not maybe formal at some point. Maybe. Case in point, the famous polo shirt or tennis shirt, invented and popularized by Rene Lacoste from the eponymous clothing brand. Who was a Grand Slam winning tennis player in the 1920s, who either started or had his own clothing brand and wanted a shirt that was a bit more breathable, but yet a bit formalized. I guess they had been wearing shirt, like a bit more formal shirts before, and made them short sleeved with a collar that, or with a placket that could be buttoned up at least halfway down. And that birthed the polo shirt, which was then adopted by Fred Perry, and then made American sporty and preppy by Ralph Lauren in the mid-70s. So that was a shirt and still is used for sports. But now business casual says, oh, you could wear a polo shirt, when originally it was used for sports. So maybe in a couple years, at your local bank, everybody be wearing yoga pants and a hoodie. We'll see.
Is that the dream?
It might be. I mean, it'd be a, you know, all these things are new to everybody and kind of catches people off guard. So, of course, even me or any, you know, whatever free, socially liberal person, it would seem a bit awkward for your bank teller to have on a Nike hoodie. But, you know, c'est la vie. As long as they're putting out the good service.
I mean, if it has like a tie printed on it, is that cool? Like,
oh, like the T-shirt? Maybe, yeah. the T-shirt with the tuxedo on the front or something like that?
Yeah, that works.
You see, but that's not athleisure. That's more just irony.
No, but it's just like you know, the idea of the save icon. It's just like we're going to move into a place where we have these anachronistic imagery to help us to symbolize formality.
Right. As it's on its way out. Because as we all know, specifically that type of formality and formal clothes have and had a classist component to it, have a racial component to it. And a lot of people didn't really have a say when it came to those things. So there's a bit of rebellion when it comes to wearing these athleisure clothes as well. That's cool.
Breaking news, DJ.
Breaking news? Yeah, I saw you kind of hesitated.
10-10 wins.
10-10 wins. Shout out to 10-10 wins.
Speaking of fashion, speaking of comfortable clothing, I wasn't aware. I know it just happened last week and we're trying to sample on trends. I know you wanted a nice fit for homecoming.
I was looking. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Did you cop your Blexit hoodie?
My Blexit?
Yes. It means black exit. I mean, did you Did you cop for the homecoming? Everybody know you know how fresh you are?
I did not. I don't know what the blacks would be exiting.
The Democratic Party for the Republican Party?
Were they held hostage?
No. They just, you know, they understand that, you know, we're being held down by Democrats because we're granted, blah, 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 and we should join the Republicans.
On the plantation. Yeah. I think I've heard that that terminology before. This seems as if they're going to be spearheaded by one delusional individual or individuals.
Dun, dun, dun.
Gasp.
Kanye West. Supposedly, as of 6 p.m., October 30th, it's basically the time of this recording. I'd imagine you'll get this a few days late, listeners, but at the time, it was a rampant time in history, and the news was popping.
Right, that's
and
why all of these going crazy. Yeah, that's why all of these ambulances are flying up and down the street. It's crippled America.
Indeed. I guess beleaguered. Pop, hip hop, musician, icon.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs, Walt Disney, Pablo Picasso, Kanye West, supposedly was embroiled with alt-right Minnie Omarosa, Candace Owens, and some other people to start a brief fashion line titled Blexit to signify black people making their exit from the Democratic.
That noise. It's probably going to bring about disturbance.
Oh, like I would hear it. I can't hear it. Yeah, it's fine. I don't hear anything.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's
don't even edit it out. We'll keep it going.
Keep it going.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Fuck it. We'll do it live. Bill O'Reilly. So Kanye had become embroiled with Candace Owens, and that Kanye's involvement at Blexit had helped this fashion thing to spread. This is her tweet on Monday, Candace Owens. I sat on stage and my friend and fellow superhero helped me design the X for Blexit, she wrote. Blexit is a project that is mine entirely. I am blessed that Ye introduced me to the designer who, despite having totally different beliefs from me, helped me craft some beautiful letters. So, that I use on Blexit caps. So, she and her ilk started this fashion thing, and sort of Kanye got co-opted because he's trying to talk across both sides and, like, have communication and all these things that are not good or are not going to happen for people that are obviously bad faith actors.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to encapsulate it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, and Kanye's, I guess, period over the past... when was the first original Trump picture or the whole thing about, like, I would have voted for Trump? That was, like, 3-ish years ago, 2.5 years ago?
I mean, it was in the lame duck period, right? So, it was after Trump was elected.
So, almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, since that moment and the insanity that has since followed over the past 2 years, the in and out, the disappearances, the weight gain, the pills, the statements, the slavery,
the blonde hair, the hats,
the odd ranting, the Facebook posts, the Drake trolling, apparently, all these peculiar things.
The rushed album. Weird marketing plans.
And maybe that's all it was, because supposedly there's another one coming. But as of 5:25 p.m., it appears...
I'm on the edge of my seat.
It appears Kanye West has, number one, listened to someone, slash...
Yo, I'm dead ass. I didn't even know this was happening.
Had some sort of, I guess, self-analysis.
What?
This Blexit situation that involved him, and I guess he feels like he's being taken advantage of. But he has posted multiple tweets revealing his feelings about the way this sort of process has happened. And
for just the Blexit or for his
just this whole
for his reactionary turn?
This whole reactionary, this whole situation. And he has posted a number of tweets which sort of clarify, I guess, that he has come to terms with how ridiculous this is all looked like and how bad he has come off because of messing with these people. 3 hours ago this time, My eyes are now wide open to realize I've been used to spread messages I don't believe in. I'm distancing myself from politics and completely focusing on being creative. I introduced Candace to the person who made the logo, and they didn't want my name, and I didn't want my name on it, so she used mine. I never wanted any association with Blexit. I had nothing to do with it. I would like to thank my family, loved ones, and the community for supporting my actual beliefs and my wisdom for a vision for a better world. I support those who risk lives, deserve, and protect us, and I support holding people who misuse their power accountable. I believe in love and in compassion for people seeking asylum, and parents are fighting to protect their children from war. I support creating jobs and opportunities for people who need them the most. I support prison reform. I support common sense gun laws that will make our world safer. So that was a series of tweets from Kanye West that are, I guess, reasonable, understandable, and show
coherent.
Coherent is a good word, and show a sense of understanding about how he himself is being perceived, and that he can't argue some non-logical, weird rhetorical argument and convince people, because his argument lies in no fact or truth.
And he wouldn't be good at articulating it anyway.
And he could not articulate it in a way that would make it clear enough for anyone who was even on the fence or trying to give him the benefit of doubt to understand it. Wow. So,
I'm actually taking a little back, because that was very clear. That wasn't bad. I still don't... maybe he just won't say anything else ever again. So we'll see.
TMZ, always on the scene.
Harvey Levin.
Harvey, the GOAT.
The also, reactionary as well.
Yes, the reactionary. What do you mean by that?
He's a pretty conservative gay dude, right?
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, yeah. Or Trump supporter, at least, which is like its own category.